Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Bold and Gold show, The Sound of Laurier Sports. I'm Ross, joining you with Kevin on this amazing day, with amazing weather, that is February 9th, 2024. And we're here to talk to you guys about some Laurier sports, along with some professional sports, and maybe a couple of random topics as well.
Yeah, this weekend's going to be a busy weekend, not only for university, but also professional sports as well. Just to mention, last night, the trade deadline, actually, just at 3 p.m., a lot of that going on in NBA, actually. And tonight, Laurier men's and women's are taking on Windsor tonight. Men's taking on 8 p.m. I'm covering that game as well. So this weekend, we're in for a lot, yeah.
Yes, definitely an action-packed weekend for Golden Hawks fans as well as our Radio Laurier team as well, because I'm pretty sure we're calling all those games that we just mentioned. So please tune into the games. If you can't go in person, tune in. You'll hear one of our amazing people commentate those games.
Of course. Going back to yesterday, the NBA trade deadline. What are your thoughts on that so far, actually? A lot of that going on.
My thoughts on the NBA trade deadline is, first of all, if you don't know who Adrian Wojnarowski is, better known as Woj, this is his time to shine, the trade deadline.
Of course.
The Woj bombs are flying is what we call them when he hits Twitter, because he tells you before anybody. And honestly, I'm pretty impressed with some teams and pretty upset with others. Mm-hmm. For example, the Raptors, that trade for Dinwiddie and Dennis Schroeder, I didn't like it too much just because I didn't like that they extended Schroeder in the summer or got Schroeder in the summer just move him for Dinwiddie that they're going to waive anyway.
Perfect, yeah.
I feel like you could have gotten some more younger value maybe for Dennis Schroeder, maybe a couple more, but you never know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think Schroeder was supposed to be a Fred VanVleet replacement actually back in the offseason, and then losing Schroeder and also Thaddeus Young as well to the Nets for Dinwiddie, who they actually waived right away. I don't really like that trade. Also, Kelly Olynyk
coming. I like that move. I kind of see what Masai is doing right now, trying to bring some Canadians back home. You know, the Raptors are obviously going to have a rebuilding phase. Could last, hopefully, only 2 years max. But it's safe because these Canadian boys are going to bring people to games and it's going to keep the fan morale up while they might not be doing the best or what we've been used to for the last decade with the Raptors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think he's playing tonight as well with the Raptors as well. Also, Scotty Barnes, All-Star weekend. It's coming, starting tonight. Scotty Barnes, first-time All-Star as well. He's an injury replacement, actually, for either Embiid or Randall, I think, on the East. So that's very interesting, actually. I actually didn't think he'll make it, even as an injury replacement as well.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of hard because he's younger and the market he plays in. As much as Toronto's a quote-unquote big city, it's not as big in terms of like the NBA standards. It's more of a medium-sized market. So I was a little bit shocked that they chose him, but I feel like he did get snubbed a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's tough with the All-Star because the starters are basically fan votes.
Yeah.
And then the benches, players, coaches, general managers. So that's where it gets kind of hard and there's some bias that plays a fact.
Yeah, I did think he got snubbed as well. And also considering Toronto had a losing record as well, I really did not think he was gonna make it, even though he was playing at an exceptional level really. Also, with the absence of both Siakam and OG Anunoby, RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly coming into the Raptors, you know, it's a new scene for Scotty Barnes. He hasn't been that too great lately since they came over, but hopefully we get to see a lot more good action after All-Star break as well coming from them.
Yeah, I think it'll just take some time for them to kind of feel each other out. You know, having that Siakam, kind of having like Siakam and him being gone takes so much away from the team just for how they run because he's been there for Forever,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Siakam. He's one of the last pieces from the championship team other than Chris Boucher.
Yeah, it's the only one left. This team has actually changed a lot since 2019, you know, championship roster to now complete rebuild. Masai has a lot of stuff up in his sleeve for the summer, hopefully. Cap space as well, is another thing in store for Toronto.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like the delusional Raptor fan like every couple years, but there could be a chance if Giannis were to hit the market hopefully, the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Masai might be anticipating that because I know he was instrumental in Giannis's early career, getting him to the USA.
Yeah, things I've heard like about, that. Yeah. Giannis to Toronto, that'd be something, actually. Yeah.
I think he would enjoy himself. But speaking on some other teams during the trade deadline, a move that I really liked was the Oklahoma City Thunder adding Gordon Hayward.
That
is scary.
OKC, number one in the West, actually. Yeah, they're a really stacked team. I always put my parlays on the OKC every single weekend, all the time. Gordon Hayward, great trade. Also, going back to the Hornets as well, Kyle Lowry. A little bit of a weird trade for the Hornets as well, but they get Terry Rozier did go to the Heat. He's been doing well down there. Kyle Lowry, I'm pretty sure they're going to waive him, I think.
Yeah. I think Lowry will probably hit the buyout market. I see him going to a team maybe like the Lakers.
Yeah.
But that was a rumor from a couple of years ago when him and DeRozan were supposed to go. But I think they end up signing Westbrook or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe he finally makes his way there. You know, he was looking like a shell of his former self in Miami. So maybe he just wants to retire after.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, the Raptors do have two vacant roster spots right now. So I was thinking, you know, if there's a chance, bring the man back to the six.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
He might be from Philly, but he reps the six harder than a lot of players.
Of course. Also, another trade I saw was kind of off to me. Pat Bev and campaign, actually. Pat Bev to the Bucks and Cameron Payne to the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's aware, if too many people are aware, but Pat Bev actually found out he got traded while he was doing his own podcast live.
Yeah.
After apparently Daryl Morey, the Sixers GM, said he won't be traded. But I think it's a move for the Bucks that they kind of had to make just because their defense has been abysmal compared to past years. They're usually a perennial top 10 team in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And this year that's not been the case. Part of it does losing a player like Jrue Holiday obviously will affect your defense like that. And adding Damian Lillard, why I love Dame, he's not the best defender. So it's hit them, and I think Pat Bev's just one of those guys that maybe he's not going to play 30 minutes a game, but he can give you a good 10 to 15, and yeah, you just know he's going to play defense. He has that whole attitude mentality about him. He kind of gives teams a different type of swagger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Personally, I've actually never liked Pat Bev, personally. Much of a trash talker, I'd say, in the league.
Yeah, but I feel like he's a last of a breed that's dying soon.
Mm-hmm.
The Pat Bevs, the Draymonds, they're important when they're in the right role.
Yeah, that's fair. And also going back to the Bucks, Giannis with that help, and also Embiid currently also out of MVP talks. Giannis is back in the conversation now, actually. I'm pretty sure he's third right now in MVP talks. I think SGA is number one or two, I think. What do you think about that so far?
The Canadian in me loves that SGA is currently, I'm pretty sure, currently leading in MVP polling, just because we haven't had one from Canada since the great Steve Nash when he went back-to-back. So I think it's really good, you know, the Canadian in me, because that obviously helps grow the game and gives us Canadian guys more respect in the NBA.
That's fair, yeah. I mean, hopefully we can see him on the Raptors one day. That's what I was thinking. Masai bring all these Canadian players here, you know, might mean something to Canada as well. Not just a championship back in 2019, but, you know, to have our own players from here.
Yeah, actually playing. And don't forget Lou Dort, too.
Don't forget Lou Dort, yeah.
Lou Dort's also, he's also an OKC.
RJ Barrett actually is from my neighborhood back in Mississauga as well. He went to high school near me, so, like, I'm definitely copying a jersey from him sometime soon, you know. And just to see him play for the Raptors, it means something to me. Like, he was literally in the same neighborhood as me, grew up in the same area as me, and now to watch him on the big stage starting for the Raptors as well, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's surreal, and I really love the way Masai's taking this team the direction they are because right now it just looks like he's focused on let's build up this culture, this foundation again, because right now we're not a team that can compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
But moving on to some CFL news. Yes, CFL news. The CFL revealed its 2024 National Combine roster. And we got a couple people from our great school here, Wilfrid Laurier University, that got invited to the National
That's great. That's
combine. Great. So we have offensive lineman Cooper Hamilton, who was invited to the combine, as well as defensive lineman Luke Broback. Don't know if I'm saying that right. Apologies if I'm butchering it. Along with Brandon Omanua. Again, sorry if I'm butchering it. But if you're interested to see some of our Laurier athletes do their combine, train and do their combine, their CFL combine, please tune in for that.
Some great names up there.
Yeah. Sure. As well as we have a former Golden Hawk, who's Isaiah Adams, who just got invited to the NFL combine. Isaiah spent 2 years here at Laurier, and he spent 2 years at the University of Illinois.
That's great. That's great.
I actually have the privilege of calling Isaiah a friend, so I'll definitely be tuning into the NFL combine to see my big brother hopefully put on a show for these NFL scouts. Mm-hmm.
That's great, yeah.
One more thing I want to talk about, because I know both of us are basketball guys, is how about this Golden Hawk team being a nationally ranked basketball team in U Sports?
But they were 13-5, I'm pretty sure, up till tonight, Rex. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe coming in, 13-5.
The men's team has been really exciting to watch, personally, when I've been calling their games so far. Tay Donald, I believe, on the 2nd of February, he was leading the league, actually, in points per game, right?
Yes, yeah. I believe so. So yeah. As the standings read right now, as of February 6th, Laurier is currently 6th in the nation.
They dropped from 4th, I'm pretty sure, during their road games, right?
Because they lost. I know they lost to Ontario Tech. And Ontario Tech, some people need to start putting respect on Ontario Tech as well.
Yeah.
I'm from the Durham area, so some of those guys I grew up with and been around, and I'm happy to see that they're doing well. And they gave Laurier a run for their money, which was a little bit shocking because usually that program hasn't always been known to be a great one, but they've really started to build a really nice program there.
That's great. Also, they lost against Queens, also, I believe, I'm pretty sure. Was it Queens? Who did they play in their away games?
I think. Not too sure. While we search for that, I have a question to ask you. What is your favorite game? What's been your favorite game to call so far?
Favorite game to call so far? Personally, it would be my first game that I ever did for Rue de Laurier. That would be against Laurentian, actually, I think. December? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was either November or December. It was a great game to watch. I think they won. Don't remember the score. I remember I was getting pointers here and there from the play-by-play guy as well, like of what to say here and there. And, you know, it was kind of great to call, you know, because I, watching basketball growing up, hear these commentary guys, you know, especially play-by-play as well, talking about the players, their stats, you know, where they're from, just anything about them, right? And then, you know, applying that to the big stage, well, for university sports at least, you know, it meant something to me, you know. So yeah, and also for them to get a win as well was something great. But, yeah, how about you?
For me, I don't know. One of my favorite games I ever called for Laurier was probably against Queens last season. Queens. Just because that game literally came down to the wire. And I believe Laurier wasn't nationally ranked last season, but Queens was. Mm-hmm. And I believe they were like maybe second or third in the country. And it was just a back and forth game. Laurier ended up losing. But it was just one of those games that you could tell was just going to come down to the wire as soon as the game started.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it seems like it was a tough matchup then, yeah. Also, going back to the schedule, they did lose against Queens 68-84 on their little road trip they had. And they lost against Ottawa as well, 67-75. So I believe that definitely took a toll on them, you know, going down the ranks from 4th to 6th this season. Pretty unexpected, but, you know, Queens and Ontario Tech, like you said, you know, their program has been really amazing as well. And hopefully Laurie can actually make a comeback tonight against Windsor. But, yeah, hopefully we're in store for a good game tonight.
Yeah, Laurie is currently on a 3-game losing streak, but hopefully they'll be able to bounce back. I know Windsor last year was a very tough team because they had the U Sports Player of the Year, Thomas Kennedy, who's actually killing it right now in Germany, I believe.
Germany, okay.
As well as he plays in the CBL League as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year he was a bit of a tough matchup for any team.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I believe one of our players, Yonder Pierre, he played in CBL as well, I'm pretty sure, right? I think. Can't remember which team, though, but I'm pretty sure I saw that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully we get some more guys from Laurier this year going to the CBL.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we got the talent at this school, and while they haven't been winning recently, they've been one of the best teams in the country this year.
Yeah, running a great program over here in Waterloo. Yeah. Deanna Pierre also dropped, I'm pretty sure, 31 points last game as well. Great game for him. Let's talk about Tay Donald, though. Top scorer of February 2nd. Had a little bit of an off game, though, last game. Only 4 points scoring for him. Only 3 games actually left to go after tonight, and hopefully he can make a comeback. You know, our star point guard leading us in the playoffs as well. We did secure our playoff spot as well for this year. What are your thoughts about that?
My thoughts are obviously Tay Donald's taken a huge, huge jump from last year to this year in terms of just he's literally gotten better at everything. And he's just – and like last year you kind of saw – he wasn't as aggressive when it came to scoring, and sometimes it would hurt the team in that sense, where he'd kind of settle for jumpers too much. But this year, you're seeing him, you know, attack the basket a lot more and not giving defense the break. Because sometimes when you shoot, you're kind of like bailing the defense out, not making them work as hard. Mm-hmm. Versus this year, he's forcing the defense to work every single time they're in front of, every time they're guarding him. And I really love the pickup of DeAndre Pierre because him and Tay Donald together, they play off each other well.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that actually a lot of the games also. Tay Donald's playmaking also, I realize as well. His assists have been excellent actually this season. His pace also kind of reminded me of Trae Young a little bit. I mentioned this one in one of my games as well. Such a great player for Laurier, I'd say.
Yeah, and I also have to note for this Laurier team too. Last year they had Ben Stevens at center, who was a very big part of their team, and this year not having him, it's been a whole team effort with everyone trying to fill the shoes that he left because he was a force in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone like that leaves after playing, I believe, 5 years here, the team's a little bit different because you end up relying on players like that. So it's been an amazing job that this Golden Hawks team has been able to do this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to get Nasty ranked as well, it's huge accomplishment for a program as well, I'd say, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, only 3 games after today going back. They're playing York, UFT, and Western, actually, after today. I'm actually covering the Western game as well. Which of these games do you think would be your top watch so far?
Well, I'll be covering the UFT game.
UFT game.
But I'm not too sure. I know UFT could be kind of seen as a little bit of a trap game because they beat another team, I believe, that's nationally ranked right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just slipping me. But definitely the Western game. You know, as you know, Western's 10th in the country, so that game will be definitely hot because I believe that might come down to who wins the division.
Mm-hmm.
The West division for us.
Yeah, actually. Mm-hmm.
So that game will definitely be big because I think it might even affect home court advantage coming into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. They're also 13-6 and Seton, 2-game winning streak for them as well. So, Western is looking a bit scary so far for Laurier. And, yeah, hopefully Laurier does win the conference battle as well.
So, obviously, we have the largest sporting event in North America happening on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you mentioned you're not the biggest football guy, Kevin. No. But let's just hear a take. If you know about these teams, the 49ers and Chiefs.
That's a very good question because actually I don't keep up with football at all. I don't actually know who's playing in the Super Bowl. Actually, I know it sounds like I don't touch grass, But no, I actually have no knowledge on football. I mean, at all. No, I don't pay attention to football. I don't even know how to play football. I don't even know how football works, actually. So I'm the wrong person to be asking that.
All right. Well, this might be, you might not even have to know football to just to figure out that this is, or find out this is a little weird. So the 49ers and Chiefs are playing the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Last time this happened was in 2020.
2020, okay.
What also happened in the NFL in 2020 was Lamar Jackson won MVP. I'm not sure if you remember, but a couple months after, or a month after, the world kind of changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was kind of, you know, a global pandemic. So some football fans are a little superstitious and wondering what's about to happen next now that the 49ers and Chiefs are playing again and Lamar Jackson won his second MVP. But another thing people are also talking about is obviously Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
I know you, as you said, you don't know football, but you've probably heard about
yeah.
Taylor Swift. And some fans are not as happy about it,
mm-hmm.
just because they feel like she's being a distraction from the game.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But she's also, I believe I saw it somewhere, the NFL has earned around an extra $200 to $300 million.
Damn, okay.
Just because of Taylor Swift, you can imagine her. Like fan base to tune into Chiefs games, just watching. So, if I'm the NFL, you guys might not have to like Taylor Swift, but she's gonna be around.
Big money moves for NFL. Yeah,
if the dollars make sense,
it is what it is. I also saw something about like you know the SpongeBob thing going on, like the football,
the Nickelodeon.
What's going on with that? Is that actually happening or?
Yeah. So I don't know when it particularly happened, but for some reason, Nickelodeon will air their own kind of like NFL games where they'll take the actual game live, but animate it for like kids. And I believe they're doing a SpongeBob halftime show now or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think I heard something about that. I'm not too sure just because I don't really tune into these things anymore. I'm 23, not 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting. Honestly, if when I was a kid, I probably would have loved to see it.
Yeah,
it builds the kids' fan base up earlier.
Mm-hmm,
it gets them into the game a lot more.
Yeah, I can never say I've watched that ever. Actually, that was just like literally only one thing I actually saw about NFL this past week. My Instagram feed, Strand NBA. NBA, yeah. That's one thing I really pay attention to, so.
Oh, yeah, well, we can get right back into NBA because that's up my alley, too. So I got a question. How do you feel about that Kobe statue?
Questionable. I mean, people said the pose wasn't the issue. I know the pose from his 81-point game against the Raptors, but I personally think it could have done way better with the statue itself. The pose, fine. I think personally a good pose would have been like one of his championship photos, like something like that. Personally, 81-point game. I mean, that's not bad, but the statue looked way better. I mean, considering Kobe did pick the pose as well. I mean, it made sense, right?
That's what I was about to say. He picked it.
Yeah.
Also, that's only one of three.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, he gets two more. As well as the reason why I feel like that one was picked first, because the 81-point game is obviously to his career high. Significant, but that game meant so much more to Kobe just because that was the only game his grandmother saw him play live.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand why they chose that one. Now the pose, I'm not personally a fan of. I would have liked to see, you know, maybe the Kobe the biting the jersey.
Yeah.
Or maybe when he holds the jersey over, like he grabs jersey over his chest, something kind of like that. But who knows? We got two more to see.
Got two more, yeah. And also, I believe the Lakers, they unveiled their mama jerseys again for their Lakers game. I don't remember who they're playing, though. But they also gave away some of those like to all the fans about season arena as well. But, yeah, that was nice to see as well. Personally, I would actually buy one of those jerseys. I think they look nice. They released them in a bubble, pretty sure. I was the wall Raptor news about Kobe got released. And
that was 2020.
It was 2020, yeah. A lot went down in 2020, actually. Not just for sports, everything, actually, you know. But, yeah, those jerseys are actually really good, though. not gonna lie. But yeah. Statue, couldn't say the same. Personally. Yeah.
Personally, my favorite statue, and this is coming from a Celtic fan, is the Shaq Lakers one, where he's kind of dunking, but he's hanging on the rim.
Yeah.
I feel like they encapsulated Shaq's time as a Laker perfectly.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Shaq's time as a Celtic, though. Mm.
Well, we don't talk about those days.
Yeah.
We don't.
That's a bit questionable, but yeah.
But question for you, because I know you're a Raptor fan.
Yeah.
Who's the first statue?
First statue. That's a good question. I have three names. One of them's not Kawhi Leonard, though. That's you don't have to worry about that.
All right.
Number one, Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Second, Vince Carter. Third, DeMar DeRozan. Kyle Lowry, you're already up the grope, basically. I know he left for Miami. We traded him away. Much needed, first of all, you know. But he's done a lot for us. Championship run ever since he came here from Memphis, actually, you know, star point guard. I forgot how many all-star games he made with the Raptors, but you know,
I want to say five.
I'm pretty sure five, yeah,
maybe a bit more.
He's done a lot on the court and also off the court as well for Toronto and the GTA, numerous charity work.
Reps the city
good as well. Once he arrived at Toronto, he was like, I remember seeing his interview. It was just like, it was a clean New York to him, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he really liked the city as well, embraced it. Yeah, so I'll give number one to Kyle Lowry.
I remember we didn't embrace him necessarily as much first because we still loved Jose Calderon at the time. That's one thing we always got to remember. Back when he was wearing number three, before he was number seven, mm-hmm. and he was number three, we didn't embrace him first, Toronto. People were hung up on Jose Calderon, crying, screaming, and throwing up.
Speaking of embracing, Vince Carter now, number two from a statue list.
Most talented Raptor.
Talented Raptor, I'd say. You know, he got basketball going in Toronto as well. So without him, you know, the Raptor fan base wouldn't be here and like how it was, like, you know.
And fun fact.
Yeah.
Vince Carter brought bottle service to Toronto.
Really?
A lot of people don't know that. When he came to Toronto,
he was confused why
he had to go to the bar to pick up his bottle.
Yeah.
And eventually clubs caught on to, we can just serve them at the booth and stuff like that. So it was actually Vince Carter who helped spark that.
Really? Okay. So I guess in 2 weeks I got thanks to Vince Carter then. But I mean, okay. Yeah. Vince Carter's impact on the court, off the court, much like Kyle Lowry as well. But, you know, just for basketball in general in Canada, he got basketball going, you know. Canada was really a hockey nation. I believe everyone knows that, you know. He brought basketball on the map. But, you know, when he did leave Toronto eventually, and those return games back to Toronto, you saw how brutal those were, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. I still remember the day he left Toronto. My father was not very happy being a lifelong Raptor fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I know those. It was an ugly scene. That's all I'm gonna say. And eventually, I'm not too sure on when this game was, but he finally got his tribute video when he was with Memphis. He was on an away game with Toronto, and he finally got his tribute video and large applause from the crowd. Yeah. That's something I won't forget as well as a Raptors fan, you know.
Yeah, I had the privilege of actually being at that game.
Really.
That year, my parents got us some season tickets in the 300s,
mm-hmm.
where you meet the real fans. And honestly, a lot of tears are coming down from a lot of grown men.
A lot of tears.
It was a lot of that emotion that they had pented up, like almost that hatred for Carter.
Yeah.
Now that they realize he's almost done, which he wasn't, but he's not going to be that same player anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of tears and a lot of emotion. Came out of people that night.
Yeah, a lot of tears from Vince Carter himself as well. I was really hoping he would sign a one day with the Raptors, actually. You know, didn't happen. But, you know, we can make it happen with Kyle Lowry, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, I don't see Kyle Lowry not retiring a Raptor. Retiring,
yeah. He said it himself numerous times, too. One day contract with the Raptors, and I'm done.
Yeah, plus, I don't see him sign not doing that.
Yeah, and also, like, I mean, they do have two vacant roster spots, and he's available on the market. So, you know, if you want to sign him, go ahead. I mean, he's averaging only 9 points per game, you know. Could be a solid vet off the bench for them as well, considering he has experience with Toronto as well. So, there's that. Number three on my statue list, DeMar DeRozan. You know, we did have our LeBronto days. I'm not too proud of those days. Not gonna lie.
DeMar DeFrozen.
I remember my cousin later bought a Debo jersey on a day he was traded. I don't know why he did this in the first place, but he bought it. And then 2 hours later, gets traded to the Spurs for Kawhi Leonard. So, and then I remember he was like crying to me. I was like, yo, I just bought this jersey. And he just left. Like, he just got traded away. I'm pretty sure Masai also promised that he won't get traded that offseason as well, which kind of hurt me as well. I was like, damn, this is cold, you know?
Yeah, it was. It's a cold business, but it's tough that DeRozan had to go and the way that it happened.
Yeah.
But to look at it from Masai's perspective is you just had the coach of the year. You put up where they went, the one seed?
Yeah.
In the East? Mm-hmm. You lost to the four seed. You have the coach of the year. So if it's Masai, you go back to ownership, who are they looking at? Looking at you.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like either he moves the best player and the coach, or he gets moved. And it looked like he made the right decision. I still know some Raptor fans who aren't too happy with his decision to this day.
Yeah.
But I feel like a championship is better than no championships. No
championship, yeah.
But some people will argue with you and tell you loyalty is what matters at the end of the day.
Yeah. Personally, like, I don't know. But LeBron did leave the East that season. I'll admit that. If DeMar did stay, I think they would have got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Finals, maybe a bit of a stretch here and there.
I just don't see that team with DeMar DeRozan beating the Milwaukee Bucks, personally.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Kawhi, in conjunction with Nick Nurse, is defense of plan in terms of walling up Giannis at the time. Mm-hmm. Not letting Giannis really get into transition and finish at the basket, what he likes to do. Them kind of doing that is what really caused Giannis to, like, not become as big of a factor. And that's what happened in Kawhi's defense.
Yeah.
DeRozan doesn't bring that same type of defensive effect that Kawhi does. So I feel like that's why. And I also feel like Kawhi's 2019 run is one of the best final runs we've ever seen. And I just don't think, again, you get that out of DeMar DeRozan.
Mm.
So that's why I feel like the Raptors made the right move, even though it kind of sucked a couple of years after due to Kawhi leaving.
Yeah, and of course, you can't forget that Kawhi shot as well in the Sixers Game 7. You know, everyone knows that shot. Most iconic shot, I'll probably say, in NBA history, arguably.
And it could have changed a lot of narratives because Jimmy Butler potentially could have been a champion. Joel Embiid. And even one better, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons. We don't talk about Ben Simmons no more. So, I was hoping to see him on the Shanghai Sharks personally or something.
Oh, he got into a little bit of a scuffle last night with Jared Allen.
Really?
Yes. I mean, that's probably his best highlight. Someone in the comments said that's his best highlight in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Pre-COVID Ben Simmons, though, was something else.
Those first three years, when he was healthy, he looked like he was the second coming of Magic Johnson.
Yeah, that 2019 Sixers team, too, was something as well. Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, all there.
Tobias Harris,
actually, yeah. Who else is on that team? I'm trying to remember.
Was PJ Tucker on that team?
Or
was he still in Houston? I think he was still in Houston.
He was on Houston, time. I'm pretty sure. That was back when Chris Paul was still in Houston.
Did they have J.J. Redick?
They had J.J. Redick, They had Redick, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
That was a good team.
That was a really, really good team, yeah.
And that was Brett Brown coaching, I think. I haven't heard too much from Brett Brown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that was DeMar taking that Kawhi shot, I personally don't think it would have went in. He chokes under pressure way too much. And I always said it myself, DeMar DeRozan has his moments here and there as a closer, but as an overall closer, I don't think I would pick him personally.
Yeah, I don't think that series even comes down to that shot with DeMar DeRozan just because I think Jimmy Butler's just a better player than DeMar DeRozan at the end of the day.
Of course.
So, like, because down the line, especially in the Raptors run, it was just fourth quarters, it was Kawhi.
It was just Kawhi.
It was really give the ball to Kawhi, a Kawhi ISO. And if they double team, then he dishes to somebody.
Mm.
But if not, he's going to score the ball every time, which for some reason, I feel like he doesn't miss mid ranges in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was just straight Kawhi, and also if Kawhi brought all the pressure on him, you have Pascal Siakam with the length right by the rim, cross to him, boom.
Or you have Van Vliet pulling from 40 feet out.
Yeah. Van Vliet had a good run in 2019 as well. That one Finals MVP vote as well meant a lot to him, I'm pretty sure, as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good team. But, yeah, those are my top three statues, actually. And now I want to hear yours.
For the Raptors?
We can see the Raptors, yeah.
All right. So, for the Raptors, number one, obviously, Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry, okay.
That goes without a question for me. I think that he has done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
He did an amazing job at his time with the Raptors, always repping the city. We know we've mentioned it.
Yeah.
Number two, might be a hot take. You got to give due to Kawhi. I think that we don't have a championship without Kawhi, and he took the Raptors to another level, even for that one season. I understand he didn't come back, but winning a championship as a team that nobody wants to come to for a multitude of reasons, to me, means something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the terms weren't the greatest, but I feel like at the end of the road, when his career is about to be done, we're going to appreciate just that 1 year of Kawhi a lot more than we do right now.
Yeah.
And my third, that's kind of where it gets tough, because you could either, it's like split between three people. And this might be another hot one.
Mm-hmm.
DeMar DeRozan, obviously.
Yeah.
Vince Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to throw maybe one of the first ones. Maybe a Masai Ujiri statue.
Masai statue.
Yeah. Because I've never seen a GM take a team like the Raptors were in terms of like their identity.
Yeah.
What they were before he came.
Mm-hmm.
What he turned them into. To where maybe they weren't winning championship after championship after championship, but they were competitive. You could see as a fan, you could see the growth of the team.
Mm.
And you could tell, like, this was from the front office down type of approach.
Yeah.
Even when he said, F Paul Pierce before that playoff series. But Paul Pierce being my favorite player, so that's why I remember that moment. And just even that, and getting the crowd amped up, like, he kind of helped build that. Like, that was that whole, like, We the North era, and he kind of helped establish that. Even with just his energy.
He established the new culture for Toronto, I would say. And, yeah, like you said, from the front office down, from the front office going down all the way to, like, the Raptors 905, for example.
Yep.
You know, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, Norm Powell, three of those players, you know, no-name players back in the day. What was it, like 2016, 2015 times?
Yep.
No-name players, seeing them develop, you know, Masai just trusting them, putting them in G League, bringing them back in.
Imagine firing coach of the year, not bringing in a new coach, but upgrading a guy already on your roster.
Yeah.
It's a huge move.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge move, yeah.
Especially today when you see so many teams just fire one coach and bring in a whole new coach or a whole new brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, he said, no, like, we're that one piece away. And sorry, Coach Casey, you got to go. It doesn't matter if you got coach of the year. And that's a ballsy move.
That was a ballsy move. I was surprised. I was like, wait. Then he just went coach of the year. I was like, damn.
But, like, mind you, I'm not putting Masai Ujiri on the levels of the Jerry Krauses or the...
Yeah.
Or, I forget, Bob Myers, though, Warriors GM, or even the Pat Rileys with the Heat.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe we could be the first city to maybe give more credit to our front office as much, because those Bulls fans, for some reason, still boo the Jerry Krause's wife, even though Jerry Krause is...
Passed away, yeah, and I saw that.
Chicago, I'm sorry, but you guys only won in one decade when Jerry Krause was your GM.
Yeah.
I know the Michael Jordan beef and him and Scottie Pippen beef, but at the end of the day, the GM does matter, too.
I'm pretty sure MJ's son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife also, which is...
Larsa Pippen and, I believe, Marcus Jordan.
Marcus Jordan, yeah.
That's interesting,
yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't want, you know, I wouldn't be dating someone who saw me in diapers, but if they're happy, then they're happy, I guess.
Mm, yeah. And also, personally, The Last Dance also changed my perspective on a lot of things, actually, considering with the Bulls as well. You know?
Yeah, it kind of changed my opinion on a lot of things. I feel like, but I also at the same time, people have to remember it's not about, Last Dance isn't about the Bulls, it's about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're seeing the 90s Bulls, but through Michael Jordan's lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that gets a little bit forgotten.
Yeah.
But one documentary I cannot wait for is when LeBron James finally decides to hang it up. While that will be a terrible, terrible day for basketball, a very sad mm-hmm. day, his documentary will be crazy. If The Last Dance was how it is now,
yeah,
and that was footage from the 90s, 80s even, imagine footage from 2003 and on.
Yeah.
Of LeBron.
LeBron James, yeah. I mean, he is going to put it up soon, though. I'm going to I'll probably give it at least 3 or 4 more years. I know he wants to play with his son, Bronny, for at least 1 year. And personally, I think he's going undrafted, I'm pretty sure, as well. You're going undrafted or he's going pretty low in the draft, I think.
I think Bronny would benefit a lot from just another year in university.
Yeah.
Just because he had that heart problem I think he got surgery for. Mm. So I think he'd benefit from it just because when you come back from something major like that, it's probably better to play at a lower level first before you jump to the NBA. Because once you're in the NBA, you're in there.
Yeah, basically. And, you know, his father has also had a big impact on teams that want him as well, you know.
Yeah.
Literally, if they hopefully someone will draft him.
And also,
it's a free LeBron.
No one's going to draft Bronny James for his age, per se.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of banking on he's LeBron James' son.
Yeah.
So I feel like that extra, another year in university will not hurt him at all and only benefit him.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, and going back to the team perspective as well, honestly, teams are just in it for LeBron, I'd say, who want to win it now.
Oh, yeah, but who wouldn't?
Yeah, who wouldn't, you know? Like, I mean, Raptors are hopefully going to tank this year, not too sure, but we'll see, and, you know, anything could happen. That's all I'm going to say.
You know? Yeah, LeBron always comes to Toronto for Caravana, so I don't think you would mind.
I don't think you would mind at all.
But before this show ends, as we only got a couple minutes left, I got one last question for you.
Yeah.
Favorite NBA moment, but can't be in the playoffs and can't be your favorite team?
Good question. Can't be in the playoffs. That's a tough one because I don't really have much regular season, like, key moments for me. I'm trying to think. Yeah, no, I don't think I have a regular season, like, proper moment. But if it was, the question was directed towards playoffs, I would probably say, not the Raptors, I'll probably say the Bucks winning the championship.
Really?
Yeah. To see Giannis develop and stick with the same team, resign, and then, you know, go into that next level, you know, many, many years of just defeat and those MVPs as well, he got as well. But that one championship he was just missing, to see him get that,
yeah,
meant a lot to me personally, even as a Raptors fan too. Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing Giannis get that championship was really great. But again, that championship too, that could have, if it went the other way, would have changed a lot of narratives.
Yeah.
Chris Paul would have a ring, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah. See Chris Paul to have a ring is really, really
surprising. No more CP0.
No more CP0. Yeah. But
my favorite moment personally is Stephen Curry breaking that, either between Steph breaking that 3-point record or LeBron breaking the all time scoring record.
Mm-hmm.
Just because both of those seem so unattainable when both their careers started.
Yeah.
Especially Steph, in my opinion, just because his career started off not the greatest with injury, dealing with the ankle problems.
Mm-hmm.
And with everyone saying, yeah, he can shoot threes, but is he really going to beat like Ray Allen's record?
Yeah.
And to see him actually do it was just magical for me.
Yeah. For me personally, I would probably say it's the Curry record as well. I kept paying attention to Warriors games to see if he would break that record, you know?
Yeah.
LeBron's record, like, I could honestly see it coming, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Kareem looks sick.
Kareem looked pissed. I know, yeah. But the LeBron one, like, yeah, it was okay. Personally, I wasn't that much affected by it. I mostly saw it coming, like, yeah, he's going to be all-time points leader. And the playoffs and regular season as well. So, like, you know, doesn't mean much, but yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you to everyone for tuning in. That's all the time we have for tonight.
Yep.
I've been Ross Gadass, joined by
Kevin Johnson.
And we're going to wish you guys good night. And hopefully you guys check out some Laurier Golden Hawks games tonight.
Of course.
Should be good.